We're up to Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph. Before I begin, I just want to mention that some tapes that were blank on one side. In fact, somebody returned a tape that was blank, and I went through the whole run of like 100 tapes, and about 3 or 4 of them were blank on one side. So it's in terms of when you find bugs and vegetables, they say if it's only 3 or 4 out of 100, it's a miyachena matsui. But I don't know, it could be indeed a momentous. I really should go through every tape. I'm sure the Chafetz Chaim would have examined everything before it sold. But please, if anybody gets a tape that's blank on one side, either give it back to me, or if that's not possible, just write on the tape, you know, damaged, and exchange it for a different one. So this way nobody else will buy it. Okay, we're up to Perek Yud Aleph. I'm going to leave this the sponsorship on this tape blank, anybody who's interested. We've learned in the last perek, Shaul was the one who was anointed to be king by Shmuel. And then Shaul went back home. It was a quiet event initially when he was anointed with the oil, but then they did a goyrel, and then they had the Urim Bitumim, and it was clear that Shaul was the one who was supposed to be king. And after the assembly ended and Shmuel sent everybody home, Vayishalach Shmuel es kol ha'am ish leveso, there were still some people who felt, my Yoshienu zeh, how is this king, how is Shaul going to be the one to save us? And they despised him, and they didn't bring him a mincha, a present which would be the proper thing for the new king. Perek Yud Aleph. Vaya'al Nochash Ho'amoni Vayichan al Yovesh Gilad. Nochash Ho'amoni came up, and he camped against Yovesh Gilad. It's a few words, but there's a lot to focus on in these words. Nochash Ho'amoni, the king of Ammon, came and he assembled his army for a war. He camped against Yovesh Gilad. Some Mefarshim say the reason why he went to Yovesh Gilad was because perhaps those were the Bnei Belial, those were the wicked people who said, ah, how is Shaul going to save us? What kind of a king is he? So because they were the ones to talk, that's why Nochash Ho'amoni massed his army to go against Yovesh Gilad. In fact, the name Nochash, we've talked about it before, how the significance of names, I believe Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch points out, the word Shem is related to the word Shum, that if you want to place a person, to know where he is, he's there, exactly to place him, Shum, it's his name, his essence. But here they were sent a person with a name Nochash. Nochash is the Nochash from way back, by Adam HaRishon, when he got Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz HaDa'as. He spoke that Hashem doesn't want you to eat it, because Ve'yisem Kelukim, Yodei Tov V'ra. He spoke Lashon Hara. He spoke against Hashem, that Hashem didn't want them to eat from the Eitz HaDa'as for his own vested interests. So when somebody speaks and uses his mouth in the wrong way, the punishment is brought about through Nochash. In fact, you find in the Torah, it says, Vayedaber ha'om be'elokim uv'moshe, the people spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Eis HaNechoshim HaSrofim Vayenashchu Es Ha'om, he sent snakes that bit the people. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make a copper snake and to put it on a pole, that whole incident. But they were sent a punishment through snakes because they had spoken against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they spoke against Moshe. You even find it earlier in the Torah, by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'hein lo yaminu li, Klai Yisrael won't believe in me. So he was given the sign to show that they will believe him, to throw his stick down and turn to a snake. Snakes are the sign that if speech is misused, the punishment is brought about, the message is delivered through a snake. So here the king of Ammon, Nochash, came and camped against Yovesh Gilad as a sign that perhaps they were the ones who had spoken incorrectly, and therefore they were being given this message. the Malbim points out another interesting shot, why it could be he went to Yovesh Gilad. After the incident of Pilegesh Begiva, where there was a civil war, Klal Yisrael went to war against the tribe of Binyamin, and the tribe of Binyamin was almost totally annihilated. Oh, after that, first of all, there were a few men left and they needed shiduchim. Second of all, the Klal Yisrael got together and they took account of who had not come to the war. Everyone was demanded and expected to come to fight, to fight for justice, fight for what was right, and to go against Binyamin. The people of Yovesh Gilad did not go. And therefore the men of Yovesh Gilad were all killed. Some of the girls remained, and they ended up marrying people from Binyamin. According to that Cheshbon, so the girls from Binyamin remained, they would have gotten the Yerusha, they would have gotten all the estate of all of their fathers. In other words, if there are no men, no males, so all the property goes to these girls. They ended up marrying men from Binyamin. So Yovesh Gilad, although it originally was not within the Nachla of Binyamin, ended up being lived in by people of Binyamin. And Binyamin was a small shevet. It was, as we've learned, it was not, at this point, a prominent shevet. But since Yovesh Gilad was basically an enclave of Binyamin men, Binyamin families now, so when Nachash HaMoini came, he had heard that Klal Yisrael appointed a king. This was his first test to see whether the Jews would be able to fight back, whether this king was going to be able to help them. So he went ahead and he sort of attacked the home territory. He went to Binyamin's city to go to war to see if the king from Binyamin would be able to do anything. So Vayal Nachash Amoni, Nachash from Amon arose, Vayichan al Yovesh Gilad, and he camped against the city Yovesh Gilad. Vayomru kol anshe Yovesh el Nachash. All of the people of Yovesh said to Nachash, cross lonu b'ris. We'd like you to make a treaty with us, v'navdeko, we will serve you. Then as they saw a big army, they figured, they didn't even think of going to fight or asking Shaul to help them or doing something. They figured it was a hopeless. And it was just make us a bris and we'll serve you. They're ready to surrender without a fight. Now, there is an Isser. It says in the Torah, Hishamar lecha pentichros bris liyoshev haaretz. You're not allowed to make a treaty with the goyim that live in Eretz Yisrael. And here it doesn't say the Zakenim suggested this. It was Kol Anshei Yovesh, the people of Yovesh. People of Yovesh felt there was no option, and therefore they were ready to make this bris. And we'll see in a moment, Yovesh, the Goyim were all aware of the fact that when Klal Yisrael came, they didn't make treaties with the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael. The whole incident with the Givonim was the nation that pretended they came from far away in order to make a bris. But they felt they had no choice against Nachash HaAmoni, and they said, cross lona bris v'navdeka. Now, if Nachash would have wanted, he could have accepted the terms, and he would have had a whole city willing to serve him. They would have paid taxes. Everything would have been to his profit. But vayomer aleihem Nachash HaAmoni. Nachash HaAmoni said to them, b'zos echros lach. Echros lachem. With this condition, I'll make a bris. Binakor lachem kol ein yomin. You have to put out, he told the people in Yovesh Gilad, they all have to put out their right eye. V'samtia cherpa al kol Yisrael, and this will be an embarrassment, a source of shame to all of Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine there'll be a whole city of Yidden? They'll all be missing their right eye because they couldn't protect themselves against Nachash. There's no question the Goyish country is stronger, and as a sign of defeat, they're putting out the right eye. It'll be a permanent sign that Nachash is the mighty one, and Klal Yisrael is weak. In other words, he wasn't interested in silver, he wasn't interested in gold. He wanted to humiliate Klal Yisrael. Now, Ammon in general had their own personal vendetta. They had their own personal issues with Klal Yisrael. Because, as we learned, you can't make a bris with anybody living in Eretz Yisrael. But Ammon was even worse. Lo sidro shlomom v'tavosom kol yamecha l'olam. That when Klal Yisrael went to the cities and they offered them the option of peace and they could vacate. But with Ammon and Moab, since they didn't approach Klal Yisrael with a basic decency, that here you have a nation of millions of people coming and they're traveling and they're hungry, and they didn't, al davar shelokid mueschem balechem uvamayim, they didn't come to greet us with bread and water, them together with Moab, and Moab hired Balaam. Because of that, Ammon is even worse than the other goyim. There's the fact that they had such a cruel nature, Ammon is shunned by Klal Yisrael, and they're not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. Ammon is off limits forever, and they were aware of that. So, on the simple meaning, "binachar lachem kol ein yomin" means literally, physically, to put out the right eye, and this way, it's a physical blemish. But Chazal see in the words "ein yomin," the right eye of Klal Yisrael, it doesn't necessarily mean the pashup shot. As Rashi brings down in Medrash Agoda, it can mean, bring me your Sefer Torah. Rashi explains, shenitna miyamin, that was given kaviyochol from the right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bring me the Sefer Torah and I want to burn it. Because the Sefer Torah is what says, lo yovo amoni umu'avi bikal Hashem. That the Torah that says that Ammon is shunned forever, that Torah I'd like you to bring me, I'd like to burn it, to show that Ammon has the upper hand, that we're not second-class citizens. Ammon is the upper ones. And that will be a chiru for a cherpa for Klal Yisrael, an embarrassment for Klal Yisrael. And there are other pshatim in the Midrashim, what it means, the right eye. Some say the right eye means the Sanhedrin. He wanted to kill the Sanhedrin, what you find is called the right eye. Some say it means their main warriors, those who use the catapults and those who use the archers. But he wanted to place some type of sign that he was the greatest, and Klal Yisrael not. You know, there's an interesting Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis. It says there were three Tanoim traveling together. And one of them was Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir was always makbid with the names. In other words, he would listen to somebody's name and he would act accordingly. So he came to an innkeeper, and this was Erev Shabbos, it was almost Shabbos, they decided they were going to spend their Shabbos there. So they asked the man what his name was. So he said his name was Kidor. Kidor. So Rabbi Meir says, oh, such a guy, I'm never going to give my money to him. So Rabbi Meir took his money, it was before Shabbos, and he buried it. He hid it away. The other Tanoim said, what's wrong with the name? You know, Kidor. So they gave him their money. Rav Meir reckoned that there's a posse, Kidor Tapuchos Hema. It's funny, it's two words, Kidor. They're a generation of Tapuchos that reverses, Rashi learns that cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change from the Midas Rachamim to anger. In other words, they're a bad generation. So he said the word Kidor, Rav Meir didn't want to give him his money. And sure enough, after Shabbos, they asked the other Tanoim asked for their money back. So the guy says, money? You never gave me any money. And the Gemara has an interesting story how they ended up with a whole trick and they got their money back. In the end, they got their money back. But here, Nachash was the one to act in this vicious way to punish Klal Yisrael for the way they had acted perhaps against Shaul. So he said to them, I'll make a treaty with you, and you've put out the right eye. Some learn, by the way, it's going on the Torah, because the Torah is the one that says, be careful, lo sidro shlomom v'tovosom kol yamecha l'olam, you can't seek the welfare of Ammon. So it's like it's to demonstrate, I like you to bring the Torah and show with the Torah that you disregard, bring the Torah that says you can't make a treaty with me, and I'll burn it, and you should see that you're destroying, you're going against the Torah. I remember once reading a book, it was discussing if somebody, Lo Aleinu, Chas V'Shalom, has to deal with a case that a child wanted to intermarry, and discussed like a shock treatment to stop the child from doing such a terrible thing. So it recommended, that they should go, in the shul with the rabbi and the parents, and they open up the Aron Kodesh, and you tell the child to take out the Torah and throw it down and spit on it, and any Jew would recoil from doing that. And they tell him, yeah, but by intermarrying, that's exactly what you're doing. It's the same idea over here. In other words, the Torah says that they're not allowed to make this treaty with Ammon. I'd like you to bring the Sefer Torah, and we're going to burn it, and we're going to show that you yourself are negating the words of the Torah. Gimel. Vayomrei lov ziknei Yovesh. So now it was the ziknei, the elders of Yovesh, said to Nachash, Heref lanu shivas yamin, let up from us 7 days. Give us 7 days. V'nishlacha malachim b'chol gvul Yisrael. And we'd like to send messengers throughout the whole land. V'im'ein Moshiach osanu, if nobody is able to save us, v'yotzanu elecha, then we'll go out to you. His whole purpose is he wants to humiliate Klal Yisrael. So if they're going to do this 1, 2, 3, and the city has nobody to help them out, and therefore they say they put out the right eye, so that's not an embarrassment for Klal Yisrael. He came suddenly; they had no time to mobilize. It was a surprise. It was a surprise attack. The whole army is masked, so the people had nothing to do. They put out the right eye. If he wants to embarrass the whole Klal Yisrael, the only way that would be feasible is if Klal Yisrael has a chance to mobilize, and yet they're afraid to. That would be an embarrassment for Klal Yisrael. If he knows, if there's an ultimatum and they had time, then if they're not able to fight and they have to accept this punishment, that would be a cherpa for Klal Yisrael. So that's why they said, and he's going to accept this condition. Give us 7 days, and if nobody will come to defend us, then we'll go out to fight you. Well, actually, the Yotzanu Elecha will go out to you. They didn't make it clear if they're going to fight, if they're going to allow their right eye to be put out. But it seems to say if nobody's available to save us, I assume they would agree to his terms, and they would have their Ein Yamin removed. By the way, Ammon was on the east. Ammon was on the east of Eretz Yisrael, on the other side of the Yarden. We already know that Klal Yisrael had problems with the Plishtim, who were in Aza and Gaza. That was on the west. So it could be, in general, Ammon came at this time also, because he realized Klal Yisrael was having problems on their west. He'll open up a second front, and he's coming from the east. Klal Yisrael wouldn't... Now Klal Yisrael was at a vulnerable time, that he's getting them from the other direction. So this is what he said, and what they responded to him: give us 7 days, and if nobody can save us, then we'll come out, v'yatzanu elecha. Vayavo hamalochim givasho. The messengers came to givasho. Vayedabru hadvorim ba'ozneham. And they said over the words in the ears of the people, Vayisu chol ha'omes kolom vayivku. The people raised their voice and they cried. Now it's not clear. It could be they traveled through the whole land and some of the messengers came to Givasho. But Chazal learned that Poshet, they bedavka sent these messengers special to Givasho to see how is Shol going to react. Now the people got the message initially. We'll see in a moment. Shaul wasn't there yet. They heard and they cried. There was a feeling of giving up. In other words, they weren't prepared to fight. It was sort of hopeless. Nachash was out to attack them. They didn't know what to do. They raised their voice, Vayivku, and they cried. By the way, this threat of putting out the right eye, the Torah says if you don't remove the goyim in Eretz Yisrael, that those are actually the words in the Torah. It says there'll be l'sikim be'inechem, l'itzninim b'tzideichem, that it describes that the goyim that remain will be like thorns in the eyes of the Yidden who live in Eretz Yisrael. That the goyim will always be there causing problems. And here it seems to be coming true. V'hine shol bo achrei habokar. Shol came after the oxen min hasodah from the field. Simply, you might say, it means he was coming back of the oxen. He was busy plowing his field. But again, Chazal say Rashi was obviously bothered with that, because once he's the king, he wouldn't be plowing his field. It's not, a king has to act in a certain way to plow his field, certainly not. And the Targum mentions that, but Rashi mentions Achrei HaBokar, he came after the oxen. Achar Zman Moyed, after the time that the Bokar come in from the field. Or there's a certain time when the animals come home. Shol was still out in the field, because he was riding on a horseback. He was going in a Bakovadika manner. But obviously he had gone back yet, and he had not established his malchus, because he had some things to take care of in the field, and he was still looking over his property. But to learn that he was literally walking in back of the oxen, you know, like somebody plowing his field, that it doesn't seem Shol would be doing, because he was the king. But he came in, Achrei HaBokar min HaSodah, he obviously had been out in the fields. He wasn't there when the messengers came. Vayomer Shol, and Shol said, Mala Om Kiyivka, what's going on with the people? Well, why are they crying for? Vayisapru lo es divrei Anshei Yovesh. So they told him the words of Anshei Yovesh, the people of what the message they got from Yovesh, that Nochosh had threatened that he was going to either he would attack and destroy them, or else if they want to make a treaty, they have to put out their right eye. Vatitzlach ruach Elokim al shol. When a person hears very upsetting news, there's two ways to react. Some people just immediately give up. They despair. They feel they just can't handle this crisis. You see here from Shol, Vatitzlach ruach Elokim al shol. There was a spirit from Hashem that passed over Shol. And unlike the other people who just cried, Kishamos hadvarim ha'ilu, when he heard these words, he cared about Klal Yisrael, the honor of Klal Yisrael, the honor of the Torah. Vayichar apu me'od. His anger was very great. And this is considered a mile in this case. Normally anger is the type of thing to stay away from. But here to be angry over the honor of Klal Yisrael and Kavod HaTorah, Shol felt that strength that he could go ahead and help Klal Yisrael. In fact, the Lashon Chazal mentioned is that there is a Ruach HaKodesh She'elav le'ish that accompanies a person lasos kol meshubach a poel meshubach to do a good action. The Meir Nevuchim, the Rambam in his Meir Nevuchim discusses it like this, that when a person gets an inspiration to do a good action, he's like given a certain Ruach HaKodesh that accompanies him, and that he was given. You know, it's funny, sometimes the guy will go, you'll hear an appeal in shul, or somebody will hear some call to action, and he's all inspired and he's ready to do it, and everyone will warn him, you know, don't be rash, and you gotta think it over, and you gotta calm down, and you know, you might be accepting more than is in your ability. And there is a truth to that. Some people just, you know, accept things without thinking it through. But a person, on the other hand, a person should be aware. Sometimes a person at the beginning, he gets an inspiration and he's expected to act with it. And if he doesn't seize the moment, he's right. He'll come down to earth and a reality will strike and he'll say, oh, it's too much for him, and he won't do it. But you never know if he would have grabbed that opportunity. So many people have turned their lives around because all of a sudden something happens and they decide that's it, they're going to act on it, and it could be it doesn't make sense. And it really is a rash decision, and it seems to be more than they could handle. But that's what they should do. So a person has to know in his decision, is it something that's beyond him, or is it something where Itaka needs the inspiration and he has to act on it? And here what Shaul did was, we can assume this Nachash Ha'amoni was a tremendously mighty king, that everybody else cried, and others, they didn't see any way that they could go fight him. It was just too much for them. And yet Shaul had this ruach from Hashem to fight. Vayikach tzemed bakar. He took the pair of oxen. It could be that's why the pasuk stresses he came after the bakar. In other words, he took what he had on hand. There was a pair of oxen that was in front of him. He took that pair of oxen, vayinatcheo, and he cut it up into pieces. Vayishalach b'chol gvul Yisrael. And he sent it throughout the whole gvul Yisrael, the whole country. Biyad hamalochim leimor, with the messages, with the messengers, those who had come saying that Nochash is there, he cut up the oxen and he sent it with them. Why did he cut up the oxen? The message is, Klal Yisrael, you can have a living animal. And Klal Yisrael, as a nation, we're a living, dynamic, powerful people. But if you don't stand together, we're like chopped meat. You cut up the animal, it's dead. It's finished. He cut up this buck and he sent it to Klal Yisrael. Take the lesson. You can have... That's what they are. They're pieces of meat, unless we're going to stick together, as this oxen was. And he said, Asher inenu yotze achrei shol. Whoever doesn't come out after Shaul, v'achrei Shmuel, and after Shmuel. Now he mentioned Shmuel because the people knew Shmuel had a track record. And they knew that Shmuel would help them, and Shmuel was a tzaddik, and everyone knew about Shmuel. Shaul's an unknown. So to bolster his appeal, he said, Shmuel's coming with me. Now of course, he didn't have a chance to discuss it with Shmuel. But Shmuel had told him previously, after all of the signs of your malchus come true, you should do whatever you have, whatever is in your power. So he knew that Shmuel would back him up. In other words, as long as he's doing whatever he could do as a king, what's proper, he knew Shmuel would back him up. So he said, whoever doesn't come out after Shaul and after Shmuel, and of course he mentioned his name first, he is the king. The king comes first. Whoever doesn't come after us, koye oseli v'karo, so will be done to his oxen. Now, he didn't make it clear whether that means he's going to send out people to cut up everybody's oxen if they don't show up, or somehow this is going to be a miracle min hashamayim, and Hashem will punish everybody who doesn't show up. But that was the threat. Everybody better come. Vayipo pachar Hashem al ha'am. There was a fear of Hashem that fell on the people. It doesn't seem to be a tremendous fear. It's called the fear of Hashem. But it could be the pshat is that Klal Yisrael realized it wasn't just Shaul as king demanding this, but this was Hashem giving them the message that he's behind them. In other words, this is your king, and what the king does they should follow because Hashem is with them. So the pachad of Hashem fell on the people. Later on, the expression used in Perek Yudalid is there was a cherdas Elokim, also a fear of Elokim, Midas Hadin. Here the word is Pachar Hashem. Could be they realized that, again, Hashem is Midas Rachmonus, or as they saw that Hashem was caring for them by giving them a leader like Shaul that was willing to act. So the Pachar of Hashem fell on the people, Vayetzu Ki Ish Echad, and they went out united as one person. And the Mitzudah says, you know, if you have to go somewhere, you wake up one morning and you want to go somewhere, if you're going by yourself, you can just decide, you're going. 1, 2, 3, you go. If you're traveling with a group, it's already a whole thing. People have to pack this and have to get ready here, and you wait, the buses don't leave on time. If you're going with a group, it's already a lot slower and more difficult. Here, Klal Yisrael went ki ishecha. They went like a single person. Like a single person gets up and he goes. All of Klal Yisrael immediately came and they gathered around Shaul. And we're going to see they had to act quickly because they had the 7-day deadline to report back to Nachash what they're planning, what their reaction is going to be. Vayifgedein bevozek. Shoal counted them. The simple meaning is in the place called Bozek. Vayu v'nei Yisrael shloshmios elef. The people of B'nai Yisrael were 300,000, the Ish Yehuda Shloshim Aleph, and there were 30,000 from Yehuda. Which again is not, it's in line with the other Shvatim. If there's, you know, it's not counting Shevet Levi, but if the other Shvatim each contributed 30,000, so the 11 tribes that remain, if you count Levi, Ephraim, and Menashe together, when Ephraim and Menashe are counted separately, then Levi is omitted. But basically, the fact that Klal Yisrael had 300,000 men and Yehuda had 30,000, Yehuda is basically in the proper ratio with everyone else. It wasn't like he had an especially large army. It could be Yehuda were known as the mighty warriors, Gur Ariyeh Yehuda, and could be Yehuda was known as the mighty warriors, and therefore the Torah singles out that they had 30,000. The Abar Benel mentions, in line with what we had mentioned on a previous tape, that he learned Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda means the tribe of Yehuda will always be a leader, and this is one of his proofs that Shaul, who was from Binyamin, was gathering an army. We can assume that all the tribes contributed around 30,000. Yet Yehuda is mentioned separately. Yehuda as a tribe was Chashuv, and therefore they mention Ish Yehuda was Shloshim Aleph, the army. It could be Yehuda were known as the mighty warriors, Gur Ariyeh Yehuda, and it could be Yehuda was known as the mighty warriors, and therefore the Torah singles out that they had 30,000. The Abar Benel mentions, in line with what we had mentioned on a previous tape, he learns Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda means the tribe of Yehuda will always be a leader, and this is one of his proofs that Shaul, who was from Binyamin, was gathering an army. We can assume that all the tribes contributed around 30,000. Yet Yehuda is mentioned separately. Yehuda as a tribe was Chashuv, and therefore they mention Ish Yehuda was Shloshim Aleph. Now the truth is, it doesn't mention in the other battles by the Shoftim that they were counted. And I saw there is some discussion. It says, well, the Torah says, by the mitzvah, when they go to war, ufaktu sarait tzvos barosh ha'am, that they appointed, but the word paktu means to appoint, and also means to count. Vayifkadein bavozek. In other words, it could mean he appointed their leaders, but it also means that they were counted.